Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I think we're started. I was messing around with some settings here. Probably not the best idea, but we'll just have to see what happens. You know, so ironic that I entitled the show "Doubt is a Shortcoming and the Need to Search for the Truth." So we start out with doubt. Not the best thing in the world. Billy has a book called A Bit of Knowledge, Sense, and Wisdom. And if you go out to the Future Mankind site, there is a Doubt as a Shortcoming page. So maybe this is a blind spot I need to work on, that regardless of whether something may be working the way you want it to or not, or you just sometimes don't know. I guess we don't, or we shouldn't, have the maintenance of doubt. The maintenance of doubt in no way, has in no way anything to do with a healthy, logical, and knowledge-demanding search for the truth. Because doubt is always symptomatic of a clear prevailing deficit in regard to clear vision and clear recognition. So evidently I need to work on my clear vision and clear recognition, because I do have some doubt sometimes, through which effective facts of things, connections, and realities which are brought together in basic truth are recognized. The truth itself, however, rests in the recognition of the nature of that which is factual, and thereby in the nature of effective reality. If clear vision and clear recognition are consciously and appropriately exercised and extensively realized, then every trace of doubt disappears. So I need to work on clear vision, clear recognition, if I appropriately exercise those, then doubt disappears. It would be great to have doubt disappear, because now the complete reality is seen and recognized, with it the fundamental actual truth. Yet, until the human obtains this clear view and clear recognition, which he has to develop through hard evolution-promoting work, he will be unable to avoid being subject to doubts, because doubts signify a fundamental activity of the developing personality, respectively of the still ignorant material consciousness, which strives for true knowledge and real truth. There's a humbling little passage. But doubt has to be displaced by means of obtained knowledge and recognized truth if progress relating to the consciousness is to be achieved. So I guess doubt can slow down or really mess up knowledge, progress relating to the consciousness. But doubt has to be displaced by means of obtained knowledge and recognized truth if progress relating to the consciousness is to be achieved. However, that can only be created through an appropriate clear vision and clear recognition, through which the truth and efficacy are recognized and understood. But the way to that is not easy and is paved with doubts. So I guess that's to a degree normal, which, however, may not simply be forcefully oppressed, nor should they be indulged in. So we can't oppress these doubts. But we don't want to indulge them either. Kind of be neutral towards them, I guess. Rather, they must be demolished. Well, that sounds more than neutral. And dissolved through an appropriate clear vision and clear recognition. There you go. Doubt is a shortcoming. That is from Billy's book, A Bit of Knowledge, Sense, and Wisdom. I don't have that one yet. There's a whole bunch I don't have, probably, I guess, yeah, which is normal in some ways. I wanted to also dive into the Talmud of Emmanuel. I guess I'm reading a lot today. I hope that's okay. And we were yesterday talking about the passage in the New Testament and then about the millstone hanging around the neck. And this is supposed to be the real statement of Emmanuel. It's on page 312 of the Talmud of Emmanuel. It would be better if a millstone would be hung around his or her neck, and he or she would have to search for it in the sea of truth. There, where it is the deepest and where the core of all truth is hidden, concerns a parable. The millstone in this parable represents the heavy burden or loan which the one who disregards the truth has to bear. So disregarding the truth leads to us having a heavy burden. So maybe when you feel like you have a heavy burden, we can step backwards and try to see if somewhere along the way we've disregarded the truth. The millstone in the parable represents the heavy burden or loan or load which the one who disregards the truth has to bear, or which is imposed on him or her as an unavoidable duty, so that he or she begins to search for, to find and learn the true knowledge and wisdom in the deep sea of reality and the truth of it. These must be words of Emmanuel, I guess. For truly I say to you, many only grasp, only learn if they have to bear a heavy load. With many heavy loads, an evil calamity must first come upon them for them to become willing to search for, to grasp, to learn, to recognize the real truth in order to follow it. So maybe avoiding, if we can be more open to the heavy load, then maybe it's less likely that an evil calamity will come across to us. Truly, there is no sense in the life and no fulfillment of its meaning without searching, seeking, finding, and following. It would be better that those who are out of their own will, lack understanding, exclude themselves from the company of the true seekers and the human being striving for the real truth, so that they do not hinder those willing to search for the truth. So maybe the thing here is to be willing to search for the truth. And maybe there's a little bit of a load with that. The irrational ones will surely be willing to heed the laws of creation in their further life, for their life of being excluded, so they will then be remorseful and comprehend and learn and turn to the truth. Woe to the world for troubles, because trouble must come through troublemakers. But woe to those human beings who cause troubles, because they suffer harm for it. So I guess if you're intentionally causing trouble, you will suffer harm. If your hand or your foot troubles you or becomes lost, do not be concerned about it. For it is better for you not to be concerned about a limb or to lose a limb, but become great in the spirit consciousness, than to have two hands and two feet, but remain small or even waste away in spirit consciousness. And if an eye troubles you or becomes blind, do not be concerned about it. For it is better for you to see the laws of creation and the power of your spirit consciousness, than to have two eyes and be blind in the spirit consciousness. See to it that you do not belong to those who are sound in body, but who walk along sick and lacking in the spirit consciousness. Search for the meaning and the truth of my teaching. Since I am a human being like you, I too have had to search and recognize and grasp and learn so that I may be knowing. Since I am a human being like you and have gathered my knowledge, you are also capable of grasping, learning, and searching, recognizing, and knowing, so that you can thereby grasp and follow the laws of creation. And this I know I'm reading a lot here, but this is this next passage is about confusion of the next one. I don't know if I'll go all the way through this or not, but if your next one is confused and embraces a falsified teaching, go reveal his or her error only in private, but only do so if a need requires it. Therefore, only go and teach if he or her wishes it, but never do it without his or her will, and do not push him or her into instruction. He or she is not to be proselytized. If he or she listens to you, and you have won your next one, he or she listens to your instruction and follows it. But if he or she does not listen and continues to be enslaved by his or her undiscernment, unintellect, and his or her knowledge, leave that person be, for he or she is not worthy of your teaching. If you have allowed your utmost to be given, it is better to let an irrational one walk on the way of misery than to bring his or her spirit consciousness into confusion. Interesting. Such that he or she becomes even more lacking in understanding and sick in his or her thoughts. Truly, I say to you, the firmament would sooner collapse than that one without insight or irrational one would be able to be taught insight rationally. Therefore, you should be beware of such a person. I guess beware of those who are irrational. Next chapter is about marriage. That's a tough subject. Might of Thoughts, page 168. From that it follows that anxiety and doubt are the greatest enemies of knowledge. And if they appear, they are able to destroy and annihilate everything. Wow, I think I read that once before. Able to destroy everything. Well, I'd really rather not have everything destroyed. Let's read a little bit from page 168. For the sake of the achievement of the recognized sense, he or she mentally follows the straight way and makes an effort to make as few errors as possible. In this form, the human being makes an effort to swerve as little as possible to the left or the right, and makes an effort to look as little as possible in the directions which are de-evolutive and not evolutive. But that is bound with the necessity of rigorously excluding anxiety and doubt, because they are evil elements of disintegration, which are able to break or bend every straight line of every evolutive effort, and can make all efforts useless, ineffective, and ruin them. Anxious and doubtful thoughts never lead to progress and success. Consequently, nothing which has a positive value can ever be achieved as a result of them. Rather, at all levels, only that which is negative. So if we have anxiety and doubt, it will bring negative things. It will not bring good things. Anxiety and doubt are as negative as hate, unpeace, absence of honor, unfairness, unhonesty, and so forth, because they always lead to failure and loss in some form. If any of these aspects arise, thereby especially anxiety and doubt play an especially negative role, then all good thoughts end and lose themselves in a chaos of unfulfillable purposelessness. Even strong insights, strong thoughts end the moment anxiety and doubt creep in. So we're doing good. We're evolving. We're learning a ton of stuff. And then anxiety and doubt creep in and blow everything away. Wow. I never realized how dangerous anxiety and doubt is. Even strong thoughts end the moment anxiety and doubt creep in at them. I wonder if it takes all the power of the thought away. The active power, as well as all other energy of the thoughts, is lost. There's my answer. As is achieved cognition concerning one's very own sense of the life and the creational sense of life. Wow, this is a huge topic that really needs to be developed. And it's interesting that system and order is in my notes right after this. So avoid doubt and go to system and order. Remember, system and order is one of creational natural laws that talks about doing things at a specific time and having a schedule and being consistent and that sort of thing. Let me read a little bit about system and order. Solely by the law of system and order, the whole universe will be maintained. So the creation, the universal consciousness, that is the intelligence in the DERN universe, which is 46 trillion years old and is roughly elliptical shaped and has seven counter-rotating layers. And our universe was created by a higher consciousness power called the Ur Creation, which had an idea, and our universe came from that idea. But our universe is maintained by this law of system and order. And remember, the universe is a Wesen height, which is different than a Wesen. A Wesen in the German has a personality. A Wesen height does not. It's a different category of living being. Like a Wesen height, another Wesen height includes stands, sands, stones, water, certain energies. Let me continue. In this law of system and order, the absolute universal love is embedded. Now, I would not have thought that universal love is embedded in this system and order. Let's find out. Which by its own effort, each form of life must acquire. And I just thought of animals too, that learn system and order. If the human being wants to be healthy, happy, and successful in material life, then the daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect according to the very same law of system and order. I had some interesting things happen today where I was wondering, do I follow what I normally do at this time, or do I extend what I'm currently doing, or do I follow the law of system and order? Interesting. What is demanded of us within the material sphere of life that will enable us to shape our life in accordance with the law of system and order? For this law to become effective in our daily life, many factors have to be considered. Among them, I deem the following important to be learned and observed: reliability, conscientiousness, punctuality, exactness, discipline, correctness, sense of duty, orderliness. Conscientiousness is the quality of wishing to do one's work or duty well and thoroughly. Frequently, it is aimlessness and purposelessness, indolence, disorder, unpunctuality, and many other unpleasant habits that we have to remove if we want happiness, contentment, and success to be established in our daily life. Do we want success in our daily life? I think we do. Excuse me. System in order. There is a page on this at the Future of Mankind site. So I recognize that you might want to look there. www.futureofmankind.info. You'll find it if you search for Billy Meyer Wiki or search for the Future of Mankind and then Billy Meyer. Maybe there is one among you, like I did let time go by without thinking much about system and order and did not become aware of that this is one of the main reasons for the manifestation of success and harmony in our life. Now, whoa, that's a huge statement. System and order is one of the main reasons for the manifestation of success and harmony in our lives unfolding, or the lack of it. In this course of our life, we look for reasons for failure, often in the wrong places. And we question our own capabilities, but in very many cases, the lack of system and order is primarily responsible for the underachievement we suffer in our life. This is huge. I mean, this is very huge. Now there is the fundamental question of what exactly to be understood by system and order, and what are the factors involved. In system and order, a fundamental cosmic law is expressed. We can recognize this law by observing nature. It demonstrates a perfect plan arranged in harmony in the law of system and order. The universal law is evident in the atoms. Remember, the creation is devoted to the striving all the way down to the smallest building blocks. The universal law is evident in the atoms, the smallest known building blocks of life. As well, it is evident in the macrocosmos, the big picture. Humans, as a part of creation, are integrated into the conscious evolution of the life. Therefore, it is of utmost significance to recognize and to apply system and order as one of the most important fundamental principles necessary for a progressive and successful unfolding of life in an evolutionary sense. This sounds like a book you gotta have. According to that, allow me to quote Billy's Geisteslehre, the spirit teachings. Solely by the law of system and order, the whole universe will be maintained. In this law of system and order, the absolute universal love is embedded, which by its own effort, each form of life must acquire. If the human being wants to be healthy, happy, and successful in material life, then the daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect according to the very same law of system and order. What is demanded of us within the material sphere of life that will enable us to shape our life in accordance with the law of system and order? For this law to become effective in our daily life, many factors must be considered. Among them, I deem the following important to be learned and observed: reliability, conscientiousness, punctuality, exactness, discipline, correctness, a sense of duty, orderliness. Also to this list, I add the acquisition of learning how to work with an exact schedule and the exact following of it. I've heard stories about the people from Switzerland and Germany being absurd about the exactness of their schedule. Maybe there's a damn good reason for that. When a thorough planning has been done beforehand, all extended work will be executed more efficiently. For example, women or men with a large scope of work can master this extended scope of work only in an exact way by observing the law of system and order. What seems to be self-evident through obvious and logical appears in reality to be an enormous task which has to be mastered. At first, there are the constantly arising influences in our surroundings which lead to diversions or create other problems and difficulties. These require extra effort to adhere to our planned activities. Secondly, in learning discipline and trying to be consistent, the powerful adversaries in us let us down in our efforts again and again. Indeed, our conscience sometimes admonishes us to be, as an unpleasant yet helpful reminder, to pay more attention on our path of acquiring new habits. And then it goes on to talk about aimlessness and purposelessness. You know, it's not just this book, but The Might of Thoughts talks about the danger of aimlessness and purposelessness. So does The Way to Live. The Arts of Leaving talk about the danger of aimlessness and purposelessness. So as much purpose as you can throw into your life, the better, I guess, and to follow an exact schedule. Therefore, we also become aware that the application of system and order in our daily lives influences the forming and development of our psyche in a significant and positive way. I did not know that. The balance of our psyche is a fundamental prerequisite for comprehending and understanding the spirit in connection with evolution. Therefore, controlling our daily life, we can create, furthermore, the necessary space and quiet needed to distance ourselves from surrounding disturbances, whereby a very important requirement for study and teaching of the spirit, studying the teaching of the spirit, the Geistes Lehre, and for meditation to be realized. Wow, I cannot believe we are out of time. We are talking about system and order. We've been talking about the dangers of doubt as a shortcoming. And we've been talking about a little bit about stuff in the Talmud of Emmanuel. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I read a little more than normal, but I think it went okay. Have a great day. See you later. Bye-bye.